Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Do you ever panic?
You might miss a payment.
It's kind of hard to deal with.
Don't do it.
Panic, the sudden fear that dominates and replaces thinking.
I'm Jim Burns. Now is the time of the year when the financial pressures can be a real source of strain on your marriage and on your family. But you can break free from the grip of debt once and for all. On this edition of Homeward, I'll be joined by my good friend Howard Dayton of Crown Financial Ministries. The map to true financial freedom is our topic today on Homeward. So get ready for some practical principles for helping you getting your family finances in order.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. College can be expensive. There's no question about that. Azusa Pacific University is a private university, and so that means there are options available to you at APU that you might not have at state schools. So I want you to consider that when you go to homeward.com and hit the APU link, or just go to apu.edu. Think about that. You got to figure out how we're going to pay for college because you don't want to graduate with a gazillion dollars worth of debt. And one man who understands that better than anyone we know is Howard Dayton, the founder of Crown Financial Ministries. The map to true financial freedom is what Howard has written about. He's got a book called Your Money Map, and we're going to have a conversation with him about it right now with part one of today's discussion. Here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is going to be a great day here on Homeward. We're talking with Howard Dayton, a friend, as well as the chief executive officer of Crown Financial Ministries. He's a noted author, popular speaker. He's actually a radio host of a great program called Money Matters. And married to Bev for over 35 years. They live in Georgia, and they have two married children. Howard, welcome to our program.
Just great to be with you, Jim. Well, been looking forward to this time.
Well, this has been great. We had to get into the studio to have conversation because we just kept talking kind of outside.
That's right.
Always so great to be with you. I was looking forward to it. You've written a new book called Your Money Map, a proven seven-step guide to true financial freedom. And in many ways, it seems to me, and I got this out of your book, that money is pretty much in competition with God for our affection.
That's right. I mean, it's amazing how much God says about money, Jim. There are 2,350 verses in the Bible dealing with money and possessions, 15% of everything that Jesus Christ said had to do with it. And one of the primary reasons that God said so much about money is that he knew that it would be a primary competitor with him for the lordship of our lives. And he made that so clear in Matthew 6, verse 24, where he said, you know, you can't serve two masters. And then he draws a very harsh line of distinction. He says, you're going to love one, hate the other. You're going to hold one, despise the other. You can't serve God and what's the blank? It's money of all things.
Right. It is such a, I was thinking of that right when, as you were saying that, I was thinking of that particular verse. And yet what I find, and we were talking about this before we started our program, that most marriages would have to say that they struggle perhaps most with the financial side. I mean, there's other issues, communication, there's sex lives, there's all these other things. But when it comes to finances, I don't see very many people who say, we just have a fine life when it comes to finances.
Yeah, well, I've looked at the statistics, and it really is fairly overwhelming. 70% of all arguments, all marital problems are rooted in this financial arena. Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, you know, when married couples are talking about money, I mean, it's not a pleasant experience normally. It's, we've got a problem, you're earning too little, you're spending too much. It often breaks out into a small-scale nuclear war. Right. There's a lot of emotion attached to it.
Right, and you know, and it, although it is a conversation from day one in marriages, it does change. We were talking before that, you know, our daughter Christy's getting married, and so, you know, we're talking wedding and budget with wedding, and I've got two kids in college, and these were things that Kathy and I really didn't talk about early on, and in fact, we should have. We needed a money map a long time ago because these were issues that sort of came, you know, into our mind after we started having kids, and that was 10 years after we were married.
That's right. That two-thirds of engaged couples don't talk about money at all.
Yeah.
So they're not transparent with where they are personally on debt and whatnot. They haven't talked about, you know, what are my goals for giving, for saving, for lifestyle. And those are huge issues. And unfortunately, you know, when you find that out later, you know, after you've tied the knot, it can be a pretty damaging time to the relationship.
You're right. It's a major thing. You know, I was a youth pastor in a previous life, if you would. And so I did a lot of weddings.
I remember those days.
Yeah. I did a lot. I had hair, actually. And I did a lot of weddings. And I believe so much in premarital counseling. And so I would make and I call them kids now, but I would make the young people do a budget. And I would say, I won't marry you until you do a budget. And I was talking with a couple who has done so well. Actually, they've been very involved in Crown and in your ministry in a local church in our area. But what they laughed about was they said, I told them that I wouldn't do their wedding, and the week before they still had not done a budget. And I looked them in the eyes. I knew them pretty well. And I looked them in the eyes and I said, I will not be at your wedding if I don't see a budget. I said, I don't care about the numbers. So they said the week of their marriage, instead of, you know, thinking about the flowers and the groomsmen and all this, they were actually putting together a budget and had one of their biggest fights, wondering if they should actually stay engaged to this thing. But
well, and I'd rather have that discussion before they get married than afterwards.
Absolutely.
And you're so right to require that of folks, because it, you know, they've got to learn to communicate well together in this area. And one thing I really encourage people to do, Jim, is every week. Once a week, pick an appropriate time, not a time where you're stressed out, tired, or whatnot, but pick a time that the two of you can get together. First of all, pray, then review what's happened in your financial life that week. And this is a really key element, and that is to celebrate, you know, celebrate progress, because as I mentioned earlier, so often discussions around money are always negative. Right. So create that environment of gratitude, a celebration, encouragement in your marriage. It'll revolutionize. It'll transform a marriage.
Well, you know, I saw in your book a quote by your wife, Bev, that basically said, on a regular basis, celebrate. And I thought, boy, celebrate finances. That's almost an oxymoron, because so many of the conversations are negative.
It is. Yeah. But once you pay off that credit card debt, celebrate. Doesn't have to be an expensive celebration, but celebrate to create that environment of encouragement in your marriage.
So you're not saying after you've done your credit card debt that you celebrate by putting major dollars on your credit card for a fancy vacation to Tahiti?
Yeah, that's right. You can go to Tahiti, but only after everything is taken care of financially.
That's good. Now, obviously, many people in the world see you as a major financial expert, but that wasn't always the case for you and Bev, was it?
No kidding. Yeah. Definitely not, Jim. Yeah. In fact, before I learned what God said about handling money, and I was about 30 years old when I did, Bev and I were on the hook for a ton of debt. We had almost no savings. We weren't generous at all. If I gave $5 in a week, that was a huge sacrificial gift. But once I learned what God said about handling money and began to apply those principles, everything changed in our financial life.
Yeah, no, and that's something that I think a lot of people have to go through, some brokenness. It's not embarrassing to go and get help. You know, the Bible says where there is no counsel, the people fall. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But I think there's a lot of people who, like yourself and Bev, were having a crummy experience, and they're not willing to talk to anybody about it.
Yeah, and you just have to.
Right.
I mean, just humble yourself, do whatever it takes. Get advice from a godly mentor.
Yeah.
You know, a couple that's been there, have made the mistakes, have lived through the learning curve of trial and terror, have somebody that really knows what God says about handling money to mentor you.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and Kathy and I have had a great experience with people like that, but we've also had a great experience by periodically reading the books. You know, I remember a Larry Burkett book, your books, Ron Blues, various people. And what's interesting is as I read that stuff, and it caused Kathy and I to have conversations, we realized that we could move toward a healthier view of stewardship, because it's not just about money or debt or credit. It really is about stewardship of our life, because as you were talking about earlier with the scripture, where our money is, there is our heart. Where our heart is, there is our money.
That's right, exactly. And really what happens when you learn what God says about handling money, it's no longer his opinion, her opinion. It's what's God's truth as it relates to money.
You know, I found that, and I know you agree with this, and it's throughout your writing in wonderful ways. That's why I recommend your material so much, is because it really is, there's a coming together of our stewardship of our finances and our spirituality. And in many ways, we can't have a healthy, vibrant spirituality without in some ways, a healthy, vibrant stewardship. And it doesn't mean that we're going to have lots of money and, you know, have a fancy yacht in the Bahamas someplace, but it does mean that we'll have a healthy view of money. You have, many times, a healthy view of your spiritual life.
Exactly. I mean, my life verses Luke 16:11, which says, if you're not faithful in the use of worldly wealth or money, who will entrust the true riches to you? And the true riches in life is that close, intimate, precious relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right, it is. And you know, it goes with our relationship with our spouse, it goes with our relationship with our kids, because when things begin to kind of get together, when you kind of work this roadmap, if you would, together, then it seems like all the important priorities begin to fall in place. If I'm in a good place financially, and again, that doesn't mean I'm the most wealthy person around, but if I'm in a good place financially, doing the work, doing it right, then it seems like Kathy are in a better place, our kids are in a better place. You know, it just feels better. It's like you ask me, hey, have you been working out and have you been reading your Bible? If I'm doing both, I'm doing better.
That's right.
If I'm eating terrible and if I'm not reading my Bible, I'm in a mess. Come and help me.
That's right. And what we found is that before we learned what God said about handling money, started to apply these principles to our lives, Jim, whenever we talked about money, it was a war. I mean, it damaged every area, and I mean every area of our relationship. But once we began to apply these principles, we became financially healthy. Our communication skills improved. It's changed everything. I can't remember the last time that Bev and I have had an argument, not only about money, but about anything. Marriage, you can have that as a relationship that's one of gratitude and encouragement of one another.
Well, that's wonderful. And I want to get into that. We're going to take a break right now, but I want to talk about really our journey toward financial freedom. And you've got 7 steps in this money map. And I actually want to take each of these 7 steps in the next section of this particular program. They're basic, they're important, but they're also life-changing.
They really are.
Right. Howard Dayton with us today. What a privilege. The book, Your Money Map, A Proven 7-Step Guide to True Financial Freedom. And you know what? This is very important for your marriage. It's important for your relationship with your kids. And I highly recommend it. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the 7 steps. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
It's always great to catch up with Howard Dayton. For so many people, for so many years, have benefited from Howard's wisdom when it comes to handling your money. And God's principles never change, but it's nice to have someone who's a friendly voice like Howard Dayton talking about your money map and the map to true financial freedom, which is today's program. This is one you want to share with your friends. If you're not podcasting with us already, make sure you start podcasting so then you can just kind of share this program. And again, we make the programs available online with no cost. If you want to stream the audio, go get it. If you want to podcast along with us, go to homeward.com, hit the radio tab. We have a podcast button there that takes you right to our site on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free because that's just the heart of this ministry. We want you to have this material. You can start all of that process at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
All right, Tina, you can open your eyes now.
I'm so excited.
I call shotgun on your first trip to the mall.
Oh, you're going to love cruising around in this, baby.
Okay, I'm opening my eyes and looking for the first time at my very first minivan.
Yep, it's all yours.
But I wanted a Mini Cooper.
Oh. Well, the van is perfect up for a first car for you, Tina.
Yeah, Tina, I really dig the wood paneling.
Oh, this is the worst day of my life.
Well, if you're a parent, you know what it feels like when it seems as though the best you have to give your son or your daughter doesn't seem good enough. You see, money and material wealth are becoming issues of self-image more and more often, and that's why I think it's crucial for kids to learn that success is not spelled M-O-N-E-Y. It's our job to help our kids know the difference between how the world views success and how God views success. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Howard Dayton with us today. We're talking about the map to true financial freedom, and it's not easy. Most of the people who are listening to my voice right now are dealing with credit card debt, probably, or dealing with some financial mistakes that have gone along their life. It might be a major tension in your marriage. It might be a major tension with your kids. But you know what? You don't have to stay that way. Yet, you're going to have to work on it. And we're going to talk about a journey toward financial freedom. I can't think of anybody better in the entire universe to have across from me than Howard Dayton as we kind of think through this. Now, Howard, you've created something that you call a money map. And it's kind of a proven seven-step, well, it's proven seven steps toward financial freedom. And it's not easy. That's what I like about it. It's not some magic wand thing. This isn't something that tomorrow things can change. But we really do need to have a plan, and most people don't even have a plan, do they?
No, they sure don't, Jim. And really, the money map, there are seven destinations, as you mentioned, on this money map, and it really is the journey that Bev and I went on.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier in the program that when we first learned what God said about handling money, we were on the hook for a ton of debt, had almost no savings, yeah. and weren't generous givers at right. all. But we had a pipe dream, is what I call it, a dream of becoming truly financially free. And what I mean by true financial freedom, and that's destination seven, that's where I hope people work towards, is get in a place where you don't need to earn a salary to live.
Yeah.
Your retirement, your savings and investing, you're completely out of debt, but the income from those savings and investing is sufficient for you to live, and that buys you freedom. And exactly what happened to Bev and me in 1985, we reached true financial freedom, so we've been able to serve Crown full-time since that time without a salary. And it's given us tremendous liberty to focus on doing what God wants us to do. And if a person is called to continue in their job or career, they can do it. But then they're in a position to give most of what they earn to the cause of Christ, yeah. which is really a cool thing to do.
That is. And actually, I think that's the heart's desire of a lot of people, but very few can get there. So we're going to figure out today how we can do that quite quickly. First of all, I want you to take us on the journey. And I don't want you to just go one and then let's talk about it. But I want you to kind of take us through the journey. And then I want to ask you some questions about
sure.
the different things, if you would.
Well, destination one, there are two things you need to do in destination one. The first is to start a spending plan. You know, our parents used to call it a budget. That's right. I don't like the word budget because it seems to be, a financial straitjacket, a loss of freedom. But a spending plan, you're actually telling your money where you want it to go. You're spending your money on the things that are most important to yeah. you. And you're controlling that impulse spending, which is just a killer for most of us. And the second thing in destination one is to save $1,000. $1,000 for emergencies, because guess what? Emergencies happen. You know, right. the refrigerator goes on the fritz, the car brakes don't. I mean, those things that are unbudgeted happen.
Now, you're talking about my life that just happened this summer, right?
Okay. Listen, all of us, I promise right. you. The second destination, destination two, that's where you focus on paying off your plastic. Mm-hmm. Pay off those credit cards, and we have credit cards as the first thing we want you to pay off, because usually the interest rate is in the stratosphere right. Somewhere, and increase your emergency savings to 1 month's living expense. Then destination three, that's where you focus on paying off your consumer debt. Pay off your wheels. 70% of all the people finance their cars, so paying off your wheels is key. Get rid of that student debt, those home equity loans. That's huge, paying off your consumer debt, and increase your savings to 3 months' living expense. And then at destination four, I love destination four, because you turn the corner. You're not paying on these credit cards or car loans anymore. That's where you focus on saving for the things that are most important to you, the purchase of a home, your retirement, your kids' education. And what's really neat, and this is what Bev and I found, once we had those other debts paid for, we were in a position to be much more aggressive on our saving, because we didn't have the money going out the door each and every month for those credit card purchases and that sort of thing. And that really is encouraging. Then destination five, you start investing, you purchase your home. And what I tell people, and you're from California, so this is kind of a wacky thought, but buy an affordable home.
It's really an oxymoron, California and affordable.
It is. But try to get an affordable home, because right. so many people get a home that costs too much for them, and it ends up that's all they do. They work to fund that mortgage. So buy an affordable home, destination six, pay that rascal off, and then you're at true financial freedom. Now, Jim, here's what I found. Not everybody can get to destination seven, but everybody, if they're faithful, can make progress on their journey. They can become financially more stable, financially healthier, and that has a huge impact on every area of their life, including, of course, their marriage.
Yeah, no, that really does. And that's a great map, and it's something I hope our listeners, not while they're driving or, writing this down, they can always podcast it at homeward.com as well, or listen to it on our computer at any time. But when you say this map makes absolute sense, and it sounds so right, and yet it's so hard. I remember when Kathy and I first got involved in thinking about trying to save the $1,000, and we had some credit card debt. We didn't know which we should do.
Right.
You're saying actually get the $1,000 so you don't put more credit card debt on your those tires or on the brakes or on the refrigerator or whatever it is.
Exactly. And a big reason, Jim, that we found people are discouraged. I mean, if they're making progress on paying off those credit cards, the emergency comes up, they have to pile it back on the plastic. That's why it's so important to get that savings set aside in the bank, even earning interest for you. What a concept. So when the emergency occurs, you can actually use that money to do it. And I think part of the reason that the Money Map's been so well received is that it gives you the big picture. Here's where I want to go. It also allows you to identify where am I, and here's the key. It answers the question, what do I do next? So you can focus on, if you're on destination two, you can focus on paying off that plastic, and you pick the credit card with the smallest balance so you can pay that rascal off first and be encouraged. So it does answer the question, what do I do next in my financial life?
Yeah. Now, you have three basic assumptions about finances and possessions. You say you get this from Scripture, that God owns all of the possessions. God is in control of every aspect of our lives, though we must submit to Him for that, and that God provides all of our needs. How do you mix that together with what we just said?
Well, in Scripture, what you really clearly see, Jim, is God has a role, and He's given us a role. You know, His role is just what you've mentioned. He's the owner of everything. Yeah. Our role is we're to handle money His way. And one of the big ahas for me when I first learned what God said about handling money was that it just didn't deal with giving, although giving is crucial. It dealt with how you earn money, how you spend it, save it, invest it, give it, get out of debt, teach your kids about money. I mean, it's the whole enchilada.
Right.
You know, everything you need to know. So a person can be faithful in one area but unfaithful in another. For an example, they might be generous givers but lazy at work or dishonest at work. And the Lord doesn't have the freedom to bless when we're not being faithful in all areas of handling money. When we are faithful, there's just tremendous, the word I like to use is contentment. I know I've done my very best so I can be content with whatever God chooses to provide for me.
Yeah. Well, it is about contentment, but the way to get to contentment is sometimes we have to roll up our sleeves and do the hard thing. It takes discipline. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness is what Paul told Timothy, and that's what we're talking about today in many ways. Time has gone by way too fast. I got to have you come back because I've only got 1,000 more questions for you.
I'd love it.
Okay, that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Howard Dayton here on the Homeward Broadcast. We're talking about the map to true financial freedom, and Your Money Map is Howard's book. We've got it up on our website today at homeward.com. You can find access to it. You can Google it. I mean, the book's available anywhere. But for your purposes with our website today, if you go to the radio broadcast section at homeward.com, click on that tab and look at the radio broadcast schedule. You'll see Howard's name. You can click on the link. It takes you right to his website and an exciting new venture that Howard is involved in. And speaking of new ventures, Jim, we're taking the stewardship issue very, very seriously now these days. And we've got a couple of resources to help parents talk seriously with their kids about stewardship.
Well, you're right, Roger. I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. Great new tip sheets.
They certainly are, Jim, and they're easy to get to. It takes a little bit of a map, though. We talked about your financial map, the map to true financial freedom. If you want to find these tip sheets on our website, here's what you do. Go to homeward.com and then hit the Articles and Media tab. The little box comes up that says Get Answers. Write in the word steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T. Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company. Rod Emery and company do a great job in helping people with their real estate investments, but they also feel very passionately, very strongly about biblical stewardship. So they've helped us create these tip sheets. So when you go to the Articles and Media section where it says Get Answers, type in steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T, and the website will take you right to where the tip sheets are. You can print them out, download them, read read them online if you want to, but take advantage of these tip sheets for financial freedom and good stewardship.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.